earth, and sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Joel Block. It's like a science fiction novel where the heroes are trying to identify all life on Earth using each species' unique genetic code, except that it's not fiction. Scientists have found a way to categorize species to understand something fundamental about those groups of plants and animals defined by their ability to interbreed and produce fertile offspring. Mark Stokel is with the Program for Human Environment at Rockefeller University in New York. He told Earth and Sky that some labs are starting to build up libraries of DNA sequences from many species. One reason? Of an estimated 10 million plant and animal species on Earth, so far science has named fewer than 2 million. Earth and Sky's Jorge Salazar spoke to Dr. Stokel at the 2007 meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science.
Dr. Stokel, welcome to Earth and Sky.
Thank you.
Maybe to start with, could you tell me a little bit about this DNA barcoding study that you've been involved with? The basic question is, what is it?
Sure. DNA barcoding is a metaphorical name to summarize an approach which is really a standardized genetic approach to identifying species by their DNA. And this is really quite a new project. The very first paper was published in 2003. The concept really originates with, and much of the work has been done by Paul Hébert at the University of Guelph in Ontario. Again, it describes using a standardized method to identify all animals and plants by analyzing a very small segment of DNA.
This idea of a DNA barcode, is it really that easy? Because when most people think of a barcode, you know, they just whisk whatever they want read by the barcode reader, and in an instant, you could tell what it is. Does that analogy hold here on this?
Well, it's a metaphor. First of all, it's not on the surface. It does require analyzing a piece of tissue, so it's not simply looking at a surface of something. So that's number one way it's different than a barcode. Number two, more importantly, is there is, as you can imagine, variation in the barcode sequence or the DNA sequence within species, and as well as these differences between species. For the most part, we find that the differences within species are really quite small as compared to the differences between species. For instance, if we look at humans, we differ in this barcode region from one another. This is 648 base pairs, a short stretch of DNA, by about one or two bases in that 648 base pair region. And we differ from our nearest relatives, chimpanzees, by about 60 differences in that region. So very small differences within species for the most part, and large differences between species. But part of building up the library and establishing the reliability of this approach is doing multiple individuals within a species, because there is variability.
How do you go about doing that? How do you collect this DNA to be able to, to categorize all these different animal species?
At the moment, I'd say the project is what we're doing, and this is work going on in many different laboratories, is building up libraries of DNA sequences that are derived from specimens that have been morphologically identified, specimens identified by experts in museums. This requires laboratory equipment, and it requires collecting a piece of tissue. Now, it could be a very small piece of tissue, a leg from an insect, or a small breast feather from a bird. Taking that material and extracting DNA from it, which is done in a laboratory, and then applying DNA sequencing to look at a very specific gene, one of the mitochondrial genes, cytochrome C oxidase 1, and doing the nucleotide sequence of that gene.
May I ask you a very basic question? Why are scientists doing this?
I think that's a very good question. There are two reasons, really. One is, first of all, we really don't know how many species there are, even if we talk about not looking at bacteria or very tiny things like that. But there's an uncertainty, as E.O. Wilson has said, even within an order of magnitude, how many species exist on Earth. There are about 1.7 million named species. The best guess is there are probably at least 10 million species. So many more species remain to be named or discovered than have been already. And DNA barcoding is one approach that can, by using genetics, by using sort of modern information technology, can speed up that cataloging process. So that's number one. Number two is, even for things that we've named and species that are quite important to us, it's often very hard to identify them. Sometimes there may be only one expert in the world who can identify a certain group of organisms. So very specialized knowledge, very restricted. DNA barcoding is a way of democratizing that ability to identify things. And third, I guess I should say, is that there are some situations that are important just for everyday use where even an expert cannot identify what something is. For instance, when it's a piece of an organism, even for consumer purposes, for instance, fish that's sold in restaurants or in fish markets, genetic tests have been done to show that in many cases, some fish like red snapper or grouper, most of the fish that is sold under those names is not what it's labeled as. Genetic testing would give away both for the store and even potentially the consumer to know more accurately what it is they're purchasing.
Could you give me an idea, how far along are scientists now in this process? From what I understand, we barely begun to be sure that we can actually do this kind of thing. Where are we now with it?
I mentioned that there are about 1.7 named species of plants and animals. For barcodes, we have sequences so far from about 25,000 species, so there's a long ways to go. But what we're really doing now is working with groups that are already relatively well-studied. Birds of North America, certainly a very well-studied group. Many professional and amateur ornithologists have been looking at North American birds for several hundred years, and we have a good idea how many species are there, and then we can then test the barcoding approach and see, does it work to separate the things that we know, and do we discover anything new? And both of the answers to both those questions are yes.
In reading a little bit about this study, I came across an article that described the possibility of creating technology down to the level of a handheld collector of DNA that a person could just walk around and participate in something like this. Would you like to comment on that?
Sure. It's very hard to predict the future of technology. I'd say, number one, what's established now is a public resource. All of these DNA sequences are in a public database. The information about where the specimens were collected is available so that anyone could use that. Now, if you look at the DNA sequencing technology side, that still does require a laboratory. There is a lot of interest and relatively large equipment. It might fit on a desktop, but it's not pocket-sized at the moment. On the other hand, there are many groups, primarily for medical purposes, interested in shrinking both the size of these analytic devices, and that when you make them smaller, they also end up being cheaper. There are prototypes developed for DNA sequence analysis that are the size of a grapefruit, for instance. These are not commercially available yet, but the proof of principle is there. And I think because of the tremendous interest in medical applications for looking at our own DNA, I think that there will be continued refinements with that. As I said, the proof of principle is there. It's certainly easy with current information storage technology to store sequences and software for millions of species on a small hard drive like you would in your iPod. So if you marry those two things, this handheld device idea is not as far-fetched as it might seem, although I'd say it's more than 5 years away.
Would you like to maybe talk a little bit about 5 years away? What does the future bring for this project? I know that it's just getting started. Do scientists really think that they could get a handle on the, I think you said 10 million different species on Earth?
As I said, the project is really just the first idea of the project was in 2003, and the first real work in terms of doing sequencing started in 2004, so there's really been just about 2.5 years or so of work. There are about 200,000, 250,000 sequences from about 25,000 species so far. There are currently plans to raise money for the next scale, which would be to get DNA barcodes for 500,000 species, a total of 10 million sequences. So that would be a big leap up, and that involves obviously getting financial support for that. And there is an international planning group underway to look for that level of support to do the work.
Dr. Stokel, I really appreciate you taking time out to speak with me today. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with the public or the listeners of Earth and Sky?
I think just the point that you made earlier, that I think this is a public enterprise. I think it will have many direct applications for benefit to consumers, for high school students to use to study their local environment, as well as for the more technical scientific applications.
That was molecular biologist Mark Stokel of Rockefeller University speaking with Earth and Sky's Jorge Salazar about DNA barcoding. This has been an Earth and Sky presentation.
We're at earthsky.org.